You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Ivan Angelovsky. Since June 21st, a number of Indigenous people, sick of both cities charging them large amounts of money to gather in their traditional places, having to get permits and seek permission to gather on their traditional land that their ancestors used for centuries, occupied Victoria Park in Kitchener, demanding four things. First, to waive all fees for the Indigenous communities to host events in public spaces. Second, to give back the land in Victoria Park and Waterloo Park. Third, that the cities create paid positions at all levels for engaging with Indigenous peoples. And fourth, that the cities create Indigenous advisory committees to address racial injustice. After more than 115 days, they managed to resolve the fees problem, and this Monday, the City of Kitchener will be voting on establishing a team dedicated to addressing social justice issues, including Indigenous initiatives. But that's not going to resolve all the problems in Waterloo region. We're talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston from the Landbeg Camp. The day we did the interviews, the rain was pouring, so excuse the noise.
Sego, Sewell Grego, Amy Smoke, Youngets, Kanyankehega, Ani'i, I'm Mohawk Nation Turtle Clan, I'm from the Six Nations of the Grand River, I'm a Two-Spirit mother, community member, community organizer, speaker, and singer, and I am currently the co-founder and co-organizer here at OC Ganhyun Hodaje Landbeg Camp in so-called Victoria Park.
Bonjour, Ani. My English name is Sean Johnston. I'm Anishinaabe, originally from Treaty 3 territory, Kuchiching, which is located in northern Ontario. I've been down in southwestern Ontario for about 13 years. I've been living in Kitchener-Waterloo for about 7 years. I've been here now. And I'm the past events coordinator for the Waterloo Indigenous Student Center. I was there for about 5 years. That's how I know Amy. Amy was a student there, and she was also staff. Her and I have done a lot of work together over the last 5 to 6 years.
Well, because of all of the community organizing we've done and working with, post-secondary, and we speak to classes in secondary school down to elementary, even daycares. I've done some daycare professional development. We had started to see sort of a lack of space. Community gathering space for the Indigenous population here in Kitchener-Waterloo. We don't have a friendship center. Each of the Indigenous organizations or student centers are just not big enough for us. So in renting city space around town, we realize that that's just a huge barrier for us to be able to gather when we need to do what we need to do to practice our cultural traditions on our own lands. Paying for space, the bureaucracy, the paperwork, jumping through hoops just so we can gather. We don't have a church or a community center or anything like that we are able to utilize. And it seemed pretty insulting to have to pay the city of Kitchener, who doesn't pay rent to Six Nations, to gather on our own space. So
from that work, we've done a lot of work with the cities over the years as well, too, in the region. Sitting on numerous committees, speaking at numerous events. So we know the mayors personally, like we know them on a first name basis. So we've done a lot of work with them and the city councilors as well. They've been to our events, they've supported us. So when the Truth and Reconciliation Commission announced its 94 calls to actions 5 years ago, the city, we had a few meetings with the cities, literally I think two meetings to talk about what does that look like at the municipal level and what can be done. And they were short conversations with different people from different organizations, Indigenous organizations. And it was very short-lived. it was a start, and it would have been great if the ball kept going, but it didn't. Those conversations were kind of put on the wayside. Yeah, so here we are now 5 years later, and neither of the cities have really done much, if anything, in regards to addressing the 94 calls to actions on both of their reports that came out at one of their couple meetings ago. They stated that they've been doing territorial acknowledgments.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's
land
it.
Acknowledgments.
Land acknowledgments.
You know, we are standing on the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee, Anishinaabe, and Neutral people. The Haldimand Tract or Treaty is 6 miles wide on either side of the Grand River. That's apparently what they say. I don't know that they say it in all of their spaces.
And even with the Waterloo powwow happening in Waterloo Park, we wanted the city to be more involved because Mayor Jarowski would come out to our events, our powwow, and give the opening remarks, and they would provide us with the space. But we wanted more from the city than that. We wanted to be a partnership. We wanted to work with the city. And that's what reconciliation is, right? Where it's both groups working together. And we kind of felt with the powwow that it was really just us doing all the work, and then the city gets to put their logo on our stuff. So we were like, we had a few meetings with them. We were like, hey, we want you guys to step it up and start working with us. So they had offered this in-kind donation of $2,500 once to our powwow, which was nice, and it's a good start, but it needs to be more than that, right? Reconciliation is just a one-time in-kind donation. So we saw the little bit that was being done by both cities in the region. And I think it's just like a lot of community members. We don't speak for the communities here, but we do feel the same way as a lot of people. We're getting frustrated with there's just nowhere for us to gather at all, and very little is being done.
For weeks, probably 6 to 8 weeks prior to June 21st, we were in conversations with numerous community members, Black, Indigenous, people of color, community members, to discuss what we could do. During COVID, you know, back in March, April, May, the number of Indigenous deaths at the hands of police were just rising. There was a dozen by the time we got out here. And then the number of Black community member deaths at the hands of police also rising. The Ahmaud Arbery and then George Floyd was sort of the last straw. We decided we were just going to take up space. And in solidarity with ACB Network and BLM Waterloo, we were going to come here and ask for two demands: land back and defund the police. But our community members, the Black community, were starting to have some conversations with Waterloo Region Police Services and other community members and activists in their circles. And we decided to let them carry on whatever positive work might come of that. And we came here with land back in mind. Land back was the number one thing for us. Always is, always has been, as Indigenous people, as the first people on these lands. So I don't even think it's like an extreme thing. I wouldn't call it extreme or radical. For us, being on the land is our foundation. It's part of who we are. So I live here full time. Mm-hmm. Me and my six-year-old Sky. Sean is here weekly. Hannah actually is here full-time as well, tending the fire right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of other campers that are here on a daily basis or nightly basis. They come and go as they need to. They have jobs, partners, pets to tend to. So also the youth every day. They come and go as they need to. We also have folks in school. Everybody's in their online classes.
Yeah.
And they're able to participate in that from here.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ivan Angelovski, and this is CKMS Newsroom. We are talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston about the Land Back Camp and what caused them to occupy the land of their ancestors.
We're not in City Hall. We're not represented in City Hall. People of color aren't actually represented in either city halls. There's only like
Less than 3%. Okay. By their own admission, by their own study.
Yeah, we're like, so you need to actually hire us, pay us for our time. It's great you want to do like this consultation, and but you need to pay people for their time because it is exhausting.
And like not contract temporary positions. Yeah. They need to be permanent full-time positions. Yeah.
And then, of course, waiving the fees, which was like number one, because take, for example, like the auditorium. Like we could never afford a place like that. Meanwhile, when we do gather in the pavilion here, there's so many of us that we barely even fit. Like there's standing room only because it's so packed in there during our community gatherings. That's not big enough for us.
They are so far behind in what they need to be doing, not just as municipal officials, city officials, but like as people, as white settler Canadians on our lands. You know, the first one of the first meetings we had with the mayors and a couple city staff, we threw so much treaty law at them. They were astounded, I think, that they had no idea what we were talking about. The two-row wampum, the Haldimand Treaty itself, the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women Summary Report, the TRC, the Sundown Decision, a Supreme Court decision, UNDRIP, the Ontario Human Rights Code. There were so many things that they had absolutely no idea was that allow us to be on our own lands. We are breaking no laws. We are exercising our right to be on these lands. And they did not really fully grasp that, and they had a lot of homework to do.
And it's been a lot of conversations since then. It wasn't until recent, until after the first demand was met and approved, that the cities had decided to actually agree. They offered actually to start meeting with us on a weekly basis. Because they were like, okay, we want to address these four demands. They're attainable. There's something they can be reached. So we want to start meeting with you folks on a weekly basis and start having these conversations. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, sure, let's do it. So
at that point, we've been here for 10 weeks. And we were like, we've been here for 10 weeks. We're literally across the street. We could be meeting like every other day, even on a weekly basis. Like, what were they waiting for? Yeah. And I think someone said, oh, they thought they were interrupting us. Unfortunately, given the racism in this city, we were not able to like host ceremonies and have circles with our elders and bring youth here and do culture stuff. We learned very early on in the first week that this was going to be like an occupation in the very sense of the word. There are strategy around it. There's safety, tactics, all of those things that we hadn't really thought was going to come with this space. We were hoping to do, you know, language classes and drumming and singing and bring elders and stuff, and that's the racial and gendered violence here. We realized that just was not a safe thing. We were just going to hold this space.
So what is the reality?
Kitchener and Waterloo are racist. Yeah.
White supremacy is alive and well. It's the foundation of these cities, and it's perpetuated every day. It's upheld by nearly every settler that walks through this park with that look of disdain on their face. It's not because we're brown. It's not because we're Indigenous. It's because it's a racist city and region. Some of the things are go back home, get a job.
But, and a lot of times they don't even have to say anything. Like, it's just their look of, like, disgust on their faces. One person actually emailed us and said that they walk by the camp every day and spit on the ground where we camp. So it's just stuff like that. And even like one person who said, oh, we're taking up the whole park. Meanwhile, we have like
50 by 50 feet
of the whole park. And it's like, really, I'm pretty sure there's a massive park that you could go hang out in.
Yeah.
I'm Ivan Angelovski, and you're listening to CKMS Newsroom. We're talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston, founders of the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park, about the racism they are facing from the white people in this region, their neighbors.
And, and in general, you know, white settlers have every space in the world they can fully enjoy. It incenses them to not be able to be allowed in this space. The look of, like, arrogance and entitlement when they see the signs that say, you know, if you're not invited, out of respect for the space and the people gathered on it, please don't approach. And they get so upset by that. Like, they realize that they're not allowed in a space. And historically, you know, white folks are allowed in all the spaces.
It's the last line on the sign. And we always watch people's reactions when they're reading the sign. And we always wait to see their face change when they get to that last line. Because once they get to it, their whole expression changes. And they just get really mad. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they're mad because all of a sudden we're telling them, like, no, you can't come here unless you're invited. And then they walk away in angry.
Very angry. We see them, some of them beeline right for us. We know they're coming for us. We get ready for that. We get ready for whatever they're about to say. And they demand our time. They demand to be educated right then and there in the moment. We have a flyer we printed out. We are not here to educate settlers. We are here to put our space and bodies on the land. They don't like that. They deserve, they think they deserve our time and words.
And people do it at 3 o'clock in the morning too. They'll be like, can you tell me what this camp is about? And we're like, you realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're sleeping. And like, well, no, you should tell me what this is about. And it's like, no, I don't have to because it's in the middle of the night and I want to go to bed.
Pictures. People want to take pictures. We generally do not like pictures. It's a public park. We know they're going to take pictures. We can't enforce that in any way, but it's just respectful. Like, people's homes are here. We have youth here. You wouldn't normally take a picture of anybody without asking their permission. You know, Sean's been quoted as saying, like, it would force them to look at, like, the ugliness within themselves. They don't want to do that. They want to blindly go along believing this land was sold to white folks. Whatever they think happened in 1492 and beyond is their land now.
Yeah. To imagine having that feeling of growing up and just feeling like you were absolutely entitled to everything, and then for someone to come along and say, no, you can't actually access this 50 by 50 space. And can you imagine, like, their reaction, right, when you tell people that? It's just like,
it is not a space of education. Not an art installation.
People think it's an art installation. It's a powwow.
People think we're selling things.
Ask him where the craft vendors are, where the food vendors are. I think some people asked if it was, like, some sort of, like, a circus or something. And it was just like, if there was dancing later. And
some people come in, they want to join. They're like, how can you join? Someone wanted to pay to get in. Who do I pay to get in? We are not here. We're not a human zoo. We're not here to be viewed at, like, a spectacle like that. One woman actually said that she was with two young people who wanted to educate them on the Indians and how they lived off the land. And it was first thing in the morning too. And I can't believe I had had enough. And I snapped and said, like, what did you just call us? And lived is very past tense. We are standing right in front of you. There is no lived about this.
Yeah.
People think we're this historical relic of the past.
Yeah.
My daughter's in a teepee right now on their tablet. We are very contemporary. We are simply exercising our rights to be on these lands. And people don't even know the history of the land. They don't know the history of Victoria Park, the Haldimand Treaty, even prior to that. They think it started with Columbus.
Yeah, but then there's also the people too who are in the park who are very supportive as well too. And I think that's also important to address is the people who do respect our space, the people who are supporting us every day and who come through the park and will yell, oh, I love what you guys are doing, or I fully support you, or
stay strong or something.
Yeah. Or people who just walk by and put their fists in the air and that's all they do, right? In solidarity with us. And that's amazing. And the people who show up here and will just drop off a case of coffee or a tub of food, not even say anything, just drop it off and walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's solidarity right there, right? That's allyship, is where you don't expect anything from us. You just show your support and leave.
Mm-hmm. They stand on the outside even and wait to be
approach
asked.
Yeah, the camp.
To come in a little bit. That's respectful.
Somebody at midnight one night, they were bringing us coffee. Mm-hmm. And they stood by the playground.
Under the lamp.
And they waited for us to acknowledge them before they approached the camp. as a sign of respect, right?
Yeah.
So they can like and come to our space
in full view of the light, so we could see them. And they brought coffee. They brought a box of coffee.
And that's respectful, right? And that's
Dill Street. There's almost the whole street. There's a different household kind of thing. They change. We'll come at night and pick up our ice packs and bring them home and freeze them for us and bring them back. It's like a different household every few days. That's amazing. They just want to do what they can. And they don't stand around and want to chat. They don't want to ask, about residential schools and expect to be educated. They're just here to support what we're doing.
If you're just tuning in, this is CKMS Newsroom and I'm Ivan Angelowski. We are talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston from the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park about what they are facing when they meet officials from the region.
From the city officials?
I wouldn't say racism. What? It's not overt.
No.
There are microaggressions and nuances in everything that everybody says. Mm-hmm. Cultural bias. People don't know what they don't know. You know, her curriculum in the last 40 years in history class did not teach, 50 years, 60 years, did not teach the correct history. Like the white coating comment.
Well, when you think of a space or...
Like what comment?
We were talking about code switching. So black and brown people have learned how to code switch. Meaning when we are in white spaces, we can change our language. Or I'll drop the slang. There's no res accent to my voice. It's a very different nuance and context to my language, my posture, my everything. But when we're alone and we're all together, we use the words we use. We use the terms and the slang and all of that comes out. We are who we are in those spaces, but we've learned to code switch in other spaces. And they had absolutely no idea what we were talking about. And they asked if, would you be more comfortable if you didn't have to do that? And we're like, yeah, like 100%. If we did not have to switch and be ourselves in all of the spaces, of course we would be more comfortable. That's not going to happen tomorrow. That's not going to happen in any of these spaces. That just showed a little bit more texture on what people don't know.
This is EKMS and I'm Ivan Angelowski. I'm talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston in the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park about the four simple demands they have for the authorities in Kitchener and Waterloo. Demands that, to some people, sound just like common sense.
You know how many times people have actually said that? Mm-hmm. They shouldn't actually be demands. These should be the things that the cities and the region are already doing by now, 5 years later. To build off what Amy was just saying, like, when you have these spaces like the cities or the region who've done almost nothing to work with Indigenous communities here in KW, and then you're going to run into like a lot of roadblocks, right? Like take for example the consultation. What's it called again?
The Reconciliation Action Plan.
Reconciliation Action Plan.
One of the biggest points in the Reconciliation Action Plan, I believe the chair of the region put out, was that they would be looking to hire a consultant. And a request for proposals and RFP was out. Consulting firms or people have put in their proposal to work with the Indigenous communities here in town. And we're talking like across Turtle Island. Put in these requests to come and work with the Indigenous communities to sort of bridge between the region or the cities or the seven municipalities. Nobody asked for that. Not one conversation has ever, ever, ever pointed to the fact that we need other people to have our needs communicated. We do that very well.
Yeah, and people know, the people in these organizations and us, we all know from watching other communities, Indigenous communities, we know that consultation is a lengthy process. Things
they'll end up telling you what we told you a year ago.
Yeah, and it's not a form of consent. So again, it comes down to the region thinking they know what's best for Indigenous peoples. That's not reconciliation. Reconciliation is actually asking us what we need, right? And then listening to us.
It is a very colonial mindset, 100%. And it looks really great, right? The corporation of Kitchener is going to hire a corporation and they're going to give them, $150,000? Wow, we could use that money in very different ways to start meeting the needs of the people here. But it looks great. you know, for them in their colonial. But they tried to say something like, you know, that this was the first mistake they've made, but it would be the last. That is not true. They are going to make more mistakes, 100%. It's new work for them.
So one of the demands is that they create positions, indigenous positions, indigenous-led positions within their city halls. The only one that stepped up to the plate so far is the city of Kitchener. City of Waterloo hasn't approached us with any plans yet. Neither has the region.
No, we haven't seen any sort of report. Kitchener, Waterloo, or the city of Kitchener, apparently with some collaboration with the city of Waterloo, but the positions are created for the city of Kitchener.
Yeah, the city wanted to ask us what our opinion was on what the positions should look like. We said, well, if you're going to do that, you have to pay us because that's a form of consultation. And then so instead they came to us with these five positions and said, these are five positions that are being created right now.
But the those five positions as well, this stuff, this work
has been ongoing.
Was ongoing in those spaces, you know. Some community members, you know, some folks that have actually worked in City Hall prior to this had worked on these types of issues before.
Mm-hmm.
This was not like a brand new staffing model that they just came up with in a week and brought to us.
No.
This was the work of other BIPOC folks in this community that, I don't know, they polished off their desk and added a few more points to it and brought to us to look over.
So this group is five positions. They're not just for Indigenous people. They're also working with the Black community as well, too.
And any person of color. Any racialized, marginalized community member could apply for these positions.
Yeah.
But it's pretty clear to us that they should not be filled by white settler Canadians.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ivan Angelovsky, and this is CKMS Newsroom. We are talking with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston at the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park about the vote in Kitchener City Council on Monday that's supposed to establish a team dedicated to addressing social justice issues, including Indigenous initiatives.
If this gets passed, Kitchener will be one of the very few, if any, municipalities in southwestern Ontario or Ontario that's actually has a team like this.
You're not going anywhere, quite clearly and obviously. We need to talk about some type of space that allows us to gather freely, openly, without the settler gaze upon us, without the racial and gendered violence. The reconnection to land for the First Peoples is, it's like life-changing. It has changed mine anyways.
I'm Ivan Angelovsky, and this is CKMS Newsroom. You're listening to interviews with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston at the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park in Kitchener about their next steps and what are they going to do when the winter hits.
Well, you know,
that's been the question. That's been the big question.
And I like to talk about how we've been on the land since the beginning of time. We would get through a winter. We would be fine. We help settlers get through the winter.
Yeah.
Teepee is very temporary. It's also very easily travelable, right? That's why it's a teepee. That's why it is the structure that it is.
Be like our ancestors and start migrating.
We'll start migrating around. We'll be very nomadic. We're going to follow the game.
Start going south.
We could build a longhouse if we needed to. We could build a wigwam, you know. There are ways to survive. We've been looking into wood stoves, and we have an outdoor heater right here that was donated to the camp. You know, people have been dropping off mitts and hats and gloves and scarves, blankets, wood.
You've been listening to interviews with Amy Smoke and Sean Johnston at the Land Back Camp in Victoria Park in Kitchener from the CKMS Newsroom at 102.7 FM. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo, and you can email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover. The music was Black Room by Moby, thanks to mobygratis.com. My name is Ivan Angelovsky, and I was your host for this program.